When we fail to meet with God, we go through the day dealing with the tree of opposition and swinging our axe, trying to chop the tree down, working as hard as we can, and wondering why we're not making any progress. When we come up against circumstances that seek to bring us under, to tear us down, and we pull out our axe and begin to chop, it seems like we are exerting more effort, and the circumstances seem to overwhelm us even that much more. Is it because we have admitted?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Quiet Time from our series, The Difference. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Quiet Time.
Start a series this month, and the series is entitled The Difference. The Difference. And we'll be basing our scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. The Amplified Bible reads, "If the axe is dull and he," which is the axeman, "doesn't sharpen the edge, then he must exert more strength." But it's wisdom. It's wisdom to sharpen the axe. This helps him succeed with less effort. The difference. The difference. The difference. Abraham Lincoln, he said this: "If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe." My, my, my. If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. The problems tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. "Why doesn't God help me?" I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't help me. He said, "My child, you didn't seek." I tried to come into his presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. The difference. The difference. What makes a difference between a victorious day and a day when you struggle? What makes a difference between walking in a way that glorifies the Lord or living under the circumstances? What makes the difference in being able to see your enemies subdued under your foot instead of reigning over you victoriously? The difference. We're going to talk about that today and over the next couple of weeks. Solomon said, If the axe is dull and the axeman doesn't sharpen its edge, he must exert more energy. But wisdom is to sharpen the axe because that helps him to succeed with less effort. What does it mean to sharpen your axe? I would like to invite you to join me in Isaiah chapter 6 and look at that as a definition of what it means to sharpen your axe. Isaiah chapter 6. And we begin by reading in verse 1. And Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so, what does it mean to sharpen your axe? Well, the first thing that it means is you spend time with the Lord. Isaiah had an encounter with God. He remembered this encounter because he associated it with something very significant either in his life or in the life of Israel. That Isaiah had this vision in the year that King Uzziah died. His life was impacted. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah's life was changed. In the year that King Uzziah died, he had a landmark to go back and look at something that happened in his life. And the thing that happened in his life is that he met with God. And if we are going to have a sharp axe, we must meet with God. When we fail to meet with God, we go through the day dealing with the tree of opposition and swinging our axe, trying to chop the tree down, working as hard as we can, and wondering why we're not making any progress. When we come up against circumstances that seek to bring us under, to tear us down, and we pull out our axe and begin to chop, it seems like we are exerting more effort and the circumstances seem to overwhelm us even that much more. Is it because we haven't met with God? Isaiah had an encounter with God. And as he has this encounter with God, he said that he saw the seraphim, and each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried into another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." What an encounter. When was the last time that you met with God and you had an earth-shaking experience? Oh, these might not be experiences that come on us every day. I doubt to think that we could handle it if we had an earth-shaking encounter with God every day. If we did, it might just be time for us to go on to glory and just go on into his presence. But I believe that from time to time that we need to have those encounters with God where he shakes us at our very core. But let me go on and continue and hasten to say this, that every day we should have some kind of encounter with God. Every day we should meet with God. I don't know about you, but there was a time when I would rise up early in the morning and meet with God. But that's changed in my life now because it seems like God wakes me up in the middle of the night, and then I'll do my Bible reading, and I'll go back to sleep, and God will wake me up again, and I'll spend time with him in prayer. Maybe your time is not in the morning. Maybe it's at noon on your job, or maybe it's in the evening when you get home from work, or maybe it's before you go to bed. But we have to have an encounter with God if our axe is going to be sharp. And so we see, first of all, sharpening the axe means that we have an encounter with God. The second thing that it means is that we lay our souls bare before the Lord. That when we come before him, that there is an opening of our soul where we ask the Lord to examine our hearts. We ask him to search us. Search me, O Lord, and try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Look at verse 5. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man, a woman of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It means that you open your soul up to God, and you ask God, you invite him in, and you ask him to address any stinking thinking that might be going on in your life. You invite him in, and you ask him to help you deal with any sin that you may be harboring in your life. You invite him in, and you ask him to deal with any bad attitude, unforgiveness, bitterness, a spirit of animosity, whatever it is that you invite him in. Because you see, to allow these things to continue on in our lives means that we go forth with a dull axe. Oh, my, my, my. We go forth with a dull axe. And instead of seeing those trees fall, they stand before us as obstacles, tall and daunting and intimidating. But when we come and lay our soul bare before him, he begins to work the process of putting the edge of our life on the grinding wheel and beginning to sharpen so we can handle the circumstances of life. It means that we've been cleansed by God. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That we come before God, and to sharpen the axe means that we've been cleansed. Or that don't mean that we still don't have struggles. That doesn't mean that we still don't have issues that we got to deal with. But we know that as best as we can, if there's anything between our soul and the Savior, that we've laid it out before him, we've asked him for forgiveness. He said, Lord, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Purge me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Remove my transgressions from me. Whatever they are, whatever the transgressions that creep up in your mind, whether they are sin of word, sin of thought, sin of deed, that you confess it to him, and you let him cleanse you. You let the blood of Christ flood over your soul and wash your soul clean of the sins of yesterday. Jesus got down and he washed the disciples' feet. And the reason that he washed their feet was because they had got dusty. And Peter said, Lord, I don't just want you to wash my feet. You know, I want you to give me a bath. Just wash my whole body. And Jesus said that if you accepted God's way of forgiveness and righteousness, that you don't need a bath. You just need to have your feet washed. So every day, we walk through this life, and we collect the sins of the world on our feet. And sometimes we need to come into the presence of God just to have him wash your feet. Wash the stains and the dirt from the world that you've collected the day before to be cleansed and happy. But then to sharpen your axe means what we read in verse 6. And in verse 6 it says, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And so to sharpen your axe means that you've heard from God, that God has spoke to your heart. And you know, we got enough stuff going on in our lives that if we just ask God to speak to our heart, he's going to speak to us about something. You know, everybody got something that they're dealing with. Everybody got something that they're dealing with. And you need to know how to deal with it. And so you get your marching orders from the Lord. And so what does it mean to sharpen your axe? It means to spend time with God. It means to lay your soul bare before him. It means to be cleansed by him. And it means to hear from him. Now, what I want to do at this point is a case study. And as we look at this case study, we want to turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And we're going to look at the difference. And maybe some of us, as we examine this passage, might see ourselves in here and realize that we have not experienced the difference. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he, talking about Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The difference. The difference. Let's look at the priority. The priority. Mary, what was her priority? The Bible says that she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. What was Martha's priority? She was cumbered about by much serving. And if we are going to have a sharp axe, we must make it a priority to sit at the feet of Jesus. And here, notice that it didn't just say that she sat at the feet of Jesus, but it says that she sat at the feet of Jesus and she heard his word. What's important to you? I mean, come on now, let's be honest. What is important to you? Is it more important to go forth and serve? And even though I believe that God would have us to serve and God would have us to go forth and labor his vineyard, I truly believe that. But what is more important? Is it more important to go out and serve or to sit at the feet of Jesus? Well, as we work our way through this story, we're going to find out that Jesus gives an assessment. He gives an evaluation to say, what is more important? So we are not left here to try to figure this thing out. You know, there's no, in this message today, there's no guesswork. It's not left up to interpretation, because Jesus puts the money where the mouth is. He puts the rubber on the road. He hits the nail on the head. The priority. I heard the story about a guide. He was leading a group of men up Mount Shasta. And there was one man who started having difficulty breathing. And they tried to stop frequently because it just seemed like he was having a hard time making it. And eventually the man got to the point where he started coughing and spitting up blood. And then to make it so bad, a snowstorm hit upon the mountain. And so they put up their tents and it to stop because they couldn't go any further because of this guy. And so this guy actually thought that he was going to die. This is a true story. True story. He thought that he was going to die. And the guy had a cell phone. And the man asked him, could you make a call for me? And he thought that no doubt this guy wanted to call his family just to tell them goodbye in case He didn't see him again. And so the guy came and brought the phone, and he made the call for the man, and he said, "What would you like, what message would you like to give?" He said, "Well, you're calling my broker, and I just want to know how my stock did today." Isn't there something more important than that? Isn't there something that should take a priority over that? You might be dead in an hour or two. What difference is that stock going to make? If it's doing well or not? See, the man had mixed up priorities. He had other things that were more important to him. And I can't think of anything that's more important than to spend time with the Lord. I woke up early this morning. I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Priority. What's your priority? The second thing we see is focus. We see focus. Mary focused on the Savior. She sat at his feet. Martha focused on self. "Lord, don't you care about me?" Now, notice what it says here in Luke chapter 10. It says in verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Now, again, when you look at the Greek language and you interpret it from the Greek, sometimes you pick up nuances that you might not see otherwise. Somebody said, "Well, what is the difference between reading, the text in, like the King James or New IV or New American, and reading it in the Greek, right?" And somebody said, "Well, the difference is like watching television. You can watch television in black and white, and you get the same message, right? You get the same meaning, but when you watch it in color, it brings out some more details. When you watch it in color, it brings certain elements to life." And this is one of those passages where when you look at it in the Greek, that you're reading the same thing that Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that I'm left alone here to serve?" You get the same message, but in the Greek, it says that she exploded in the room. That she pushed up in the room. She jumped up in the room. And the word came. It says that she came. And again, that word doesn't mean that she, no. She had an issue. She had something in her heart, on her heart. And she was going to let the Lord know that she had an issue. And she busted up in the joint.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Quiet Time. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Quiet Time, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Quiet Time. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Quiet Time. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, The Difference, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.